Welcome in to the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell, Scotty Bordelon. We're here to bring you what's really been a packed week of Razorback sports. We're going to lay it all out for you, starting with the fact of Isaiah Joe is coming back. Big news. Also on the podcast, we're going to talk about the SEC football schedule. We're going to get into our rotation since Isaiah Joe is back. We know what the roster will be like for the Arkansas basketball team this year, so we'll get into that, along with, like I said, the SEC football stuff. And then we also got to talk to Brian Roth from Heat Check Basketball, and he talks a little bit about what Isaiah Joe means to the team and what Arkansas's national perspective is now that Aaron Musselman is in year two. All that coming up on a loaded Whole Hog Pie, but let's start with Isaiah Joe. That's a huge addition, Scott.
Yeah, you got your go-to guy back for next season as soon as he pulled his name out of the draft. And last weekend when he made his announcement, I kind of got alerted that an announcement could be coming, about an hour from when I got a call, and I didn't honestly know what to expect. Like, I could obviously see him staying in the draft because I think Isaiah Joe is a pro. He's got unbelievable range, still an underrated defender, I think. But I could also, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, there's a chance that he could come back just because of all the uncertainty, surrounding the draft. He got invited to the combine, but there was a disclaimer in the email in his invite to the combine that, there's no date, there's no location, there's nothing concrete that says there's even going to be a combine. So all that was kind of strikes against him, going pro. But I was sitting at my in-laws' kitchen table with my laptop out, waiting on an announcement to come, and we're all eating. And Michael Musselman was actually the first person that put out a graphic that said Isaiah Joe is coming back. Mm-hmm. And I just looked up at them, and this whole time, everybody at the table is like, "Well, you got to tell us what he announces or what his decision is." And I see that first graphic from Michael Musselman says, "I'm back." And you can see the back of Isaiah Joe's uniform, and he's holding the threes up. And I'm just like, holy crap, he's coming back. And instantly just got super excited for the upcoming season. Like, expectations for this upcoming season are as high as they have been in a long time. And the excitement level around the program just hit fever pitch, I think, over the weekend, just thinking about the possibilities and what kind of a run this team can make.
Yeah, I was at Top Golf when I heard the news, and you could just
see a good place to be,
right? And I could just see you could see me running around. I was going, "He's back! He's back! He's back!" And the guys I was going with were like, "Who's back?" And I was like, "Isaiah Joe." And one guy knew what that was, and another guy, I guess, is not that big of a Razorback basketball fan. He goes, "Who?" And I was like, "Isaiah Joe."
Literally, how do you not know?
How do you not know? But it just kept saying, "He's back, he's back." And it made my terrible performance at Top Golf much better because Isaiah Joe was coming back. But yeah, no, this is a huge addition. And this expectations were already going to be elevated because of what Musselman did with a roster that nobody thought was going to be that good last
basically
year.
Basically been overhauled in like a short amount of time.
So what he did with that roster that wasn't his and what he is basically completely overhauled in 1 year and what he has now, expectations were already through the roof whether or not Isaiah Joe came back. Isaiah Joe's back. That means that this team is going to be expected to be a top 25 team.
Yeah.
I think that the fans' expectations will be there, and it'll just be interesting to see how these guys all mesh together, because you think about it, there's three guys with experience on this team, Ethan Henderson, Desi Sills, and Isaiah Joe. And you really don't think that Henderson's going to get a lot of playing time as we get into our rotation talk here in a second. But that really means two guys that are going to get a lot of playing time with other guys that just, some have experience, but they just haven't played at the University of Arkansas in the SEC at this level.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the big things to watch. Just there's really not much continuity outside of Isaiah and Desi. And I guess Ethan, I'd have to look at my Hooplands account to see how much Ethan Henderson actually played with those two guys, but just meshing everybody together. And I think Eric Musselman's got I don't want to say a ton of work, but I think there's some work to be done to kind of keep egos in check, because some of these guys, like Vance Jackson, wants to be the, I'm sure Vance Jackson wants to be the guy. Justin Smith probably wants a bigger role than what he had at Indiana, or else he'd still be at Indiana. Jalen Tate is a guy. I mean, he was an all-defensive team type guy at Northern Kentucky. He scored the ball well, really well at times. And so you, and then, you know, JD Notte at Jacksonville, I think he was their leading scorer twice, and both years that he's been there, that he was there. And he had, like, I was looking at KenPom, and he had a top five usage rate both of his seasons he was at Jacksonville. So that's a guy who's used to having the ball in his hands. Now there's a bunch of guys that want the ball in their hands. And so it's going to be interesting to kind of see how Musselman kind of gets these guys on the same page. I think that alone could be the difference in Arkansas being a fringe top 25 team and a team that spends, you know, I don't want to say a significant part of the season in the top 25, but spends much more time than any Arkansas team has been in the past. When was the last time Arkansas was ranked? Was it
15? I
think it was.
Well, last time they were ranked,
2017-18.
Last time they were ranked, they beat Tennessee and popped into the top 25.
Yeah, so that was like New Year 2018. So it's been a minute.
They dropped the Mississippi State game, I think.
Right.
The next game. Right.
So yeah, there. I mean, it's plenty of talent there. I think this is a top 20 team. Just as we see it right now with Isaiah coming back, I think they were fringed, you know, maybe 5 or 10 spots outside the top 25 without Isaiah, but I think they're a top 20 team with him. You know, I think it's just about getting everybody on the same page.
I think that you're exactly right. With Isaiah Joe, they could hang around. I think the last team they really hung in the top 25 basically all season was that 15 team, that 14-15 team with Qualls and Portis.
Right.
Before we move on, because Scotty wrote a really good article about projecting Arkansas's 2020-2021 basketball roster in their rotation, which the link is in the description. I encourage you to go check that out. Before we move on, I want to talk really quick, Scotty, about a former Razorback that all of these guys, if you look all across the nation, they seem to be coming back to school. There's one guy that you think that would probably benefit, and that would be Mason Jones. Do you think that all these guys returning, I mean, it can't hurt Mason. Do you think that helps him in his draft stock?
Certainly helps. I mean, I think what we saw more than anything else was just guys kind of delaying their decision until the last minute. I mean, it seems like a ton of guys came back, and that's true. Like LSU got three guys back.
Yes.
Who put their names in. Those are going to be, I mean, those are key pieces for them. Then a guy like Eve Pons comes back. What was he, the coach's defensive player of the year last season?
Did Ethan Henderson D'd up pretty well?
Yeah. And then John Petty for Alabama, he comes back. I think we saw a rash of guys just kind of with the uncertainty in the air surrounding the, you know, the draft and whether or not there's going to be a combine so those guys could go showcase what they're doing. I think we just saw guys waiting until, you know, the last minute just to try to get as much information as they could before they made a decision. I mean, I think, you know, I was looking at Sam Vecenie's latest big board on The Athletic, and I think Mason Jones was at 74. So he right now it looks like he's kind of on the fringes, whether he would get drafted or not. But certainly, you know, guys, anytime a guy in front of you that's projected maybe to be picked in front of you, you know, either stays in college or something else happens, you know, that, I'd say that as a positive for him for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, Scotty, let's get into it. Basketball rotations. First of all, the expectations, as we mentioned, will be through the roof. And Musselman really addressed that with reporters on a call saying that, you know, expectations are a good thing and he wouldn't have it the other way.
I knew that there would be expectations, and certainly with Isaiah coming back, those expectations got even more so. Which is cool. Like, you know, bring it on. And then we got to try to put it together as best we can.
Yeah. So expectations, Scotty, we've talked about it before. Musselman knows that they're there. The team knows that they're there. How you get those expectations to turn into wins is having guys that are on the court that know what they're doing and also really coming together as a team. So how do you see this team really bonding into one and coming together as one, the way that you see it right now?
Yeah, so basically with this roster projection, I broke things down into basically four tiers or four different categories. So I went star, and then potential starters slash key rotation players, bench contributors, and spot minutes. And I'll tell you what, I started writing on Monday, and I didn't feel super comfortable with what I had until Wednesday about noon when I published it. And it's really tough, just because last season Arkansas was a team that played seven guys, maybe eight on a crazy night. And now Arkansas's got 11, 12, 13 options, you know, when everybody's healthy. Like if Bebe was not out with an ACL injury. And also, I guess we should say that, or we should talk yes. a little bit about that. Like Bebe is going to be out for 5 to 6 months with an ACL tear in his right knee. And then JD Notte, I believe, fractured his wrist, and he has been in a cast, but I think he's now transitioned to a brace, which is a good thing. And so he's probably going to get back to practice in a couple of weeks, which is, that's a positive. I think he's a guy that the coaching staff is expecting to play a pretty big role. But this is really tough. Like, I think there's, outside of Isaiah Joe, I've got Isaiah Joe in the star category, and right now he's the only guy. I think there's a guy who could jump into that category.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm pretty high on Vance Jackson. I think the guy's...
Okay, not the same guy.
I think the guy's immediate impact. And shortly after he committed, you know, I reached out to a couple of New Mexico beat writers, and one of them told me that some people may view Vance Jackson as maybe a little bit of a diva, but he's got the skill set to go play for a check somewhere. And then we hear from Eric Musselman after the first week of practice, and one day he goes like 70 of 79 from three. I mean, I understand that's practice, but dude, that's unreal. And Vance is, I was talking to a couple of buddies yesterday before I posted this rotation projection. I think Vance has the chance to jump into that star category. And this is just my opinion, but he's everything that I kind of like about a guy. He's going to give you some grown man toughness, and he can play inside out. He's a guard trapped in a forward's body, and so you're probably not going to see him banging a whole lot. But he's going to, at 6'9", 230, he's going to give you some perimeter scoring. I think he can give you a lift rebounding. Like I said, he's going to bring you some toughness, and then he's going to bring a little bit of flair to the table too, which I really like. So, you know, I think one of the knocks on him when he committed was that, you know, he may have a tendency to kind of disappear for stretches and not, you know, just not really impact games. But I think Eric Musselman, just with his past, I mean, he's dealt with personalities in the pros before. Like, this is not going to be anything new to him. I think he's going to be able to push the right buttons and keep Vance engaged on both ends. And he's got a chance to have a big season.
If I had to push somebody else into that star category, that's a really good point that you make with Vance Jackson. I would have not thought to move Vance Jackson up into the star category. I thought that he would be,
as of right now, he's not.
Right, right.
Chance to get there for sure.
I think the one that came to my mind is a guy that we haven't even seen play college ball yet, and I think that's Moses Moody.
Yeah.
If you talk to everybody kind of outside of the bubble of the University of Arkansas, and even in, you can tell that Moody has a skill set. Moody has a skill set to be an elite player. It's just whether or not that all comes together in the first year. If it comes together in the first year, you may only see that guy for 1 year. He could be a one and done at the University of Arkansas. But also at the same time, you just don't know. He's a freshman. There's a lot of question marks. So that's why I feel like that his ceiling is higher than almost anybody except for Isaiah Joe on the team. But his floor could be lower than five or six other guys. It just depends on what he does this year, whether or not college ball is a lot for him, whether or not he adjusts to the offense, if he gets enough touches. All of these things play into a guy that, you know, with Isaiah Joe coming back, he's not going to be the main threat. Now, he should be a starter every single game and could be a threat in any game. But all eyes are going to be on Isaiah Joe, and it just depends on how well Arkansas can get Joe the basketball and how well Joe shoots, whether or not Moses Moody comes into his own.
Yeah, and I've got Moses Moody listed as one of the potential starters, and you know, we've been kind of kicking around our potential starting fives, like our own personal starting fives, and I think you've got him in there, right? You would have him starting. Yeah. I do too. I think the last sentence I wrote about Moses Moody was, I think Moody has star potential. And so, I mean, he could jump up into that class with Isaiah, possibly Vance. If you got three guys in that star potential and that star category, you're going to have a hell of a season for sure. I think it just all hinges on, like, freshmen to a degree are wild cards. Like, some guys adapt to college basketball quicker than others. I think Moses is a guy who can acclimate himself to the college game maybe quicker than some of the other freshmen. And that's obviously that's why we've got him as a potential starter, as a guy who could potentially jump into that star class. I've got him starting from the season opener. It's just going to kind of hinge on how things go in the preseason. I think one of the reasons you want him in the starting lineup is his jumper is silky smooth. Like, that's undeniable. He's underrated on both ends as a rebounder, got good court vision, good length, and the coaching staff, it's rare, according to the coaching staff, they think that Moses has some leadership qualities as a freshman, and he's got maturity that's not often seen in guys who are just entering college. So that, to me, sounds like he's got the whole package. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have any doubt that Moses is going to play a big role this year.
All right, Scotty, we mentioned our star. We haven't mentioned everybody that you say is a potential starter / key rotation player. So I'm going to go through the list. You tell me who you're most excited for out of all of these guys and really what you see their roles being, okay? So Desi Sills is a potential starter / rotation player. Vance Jackson, Justin Smith, JD Notte, Jalen Tate, Connor Vanover, Moses Moody. This is where the chunk of the roster sits.
Yeah, I think those guys, I don't think there's any doubt, at least in my mind, that those are going to be your rotation guys. And just who starts, like, all that's up in the air. Like, we came up with our starting fives. Mine is probably different than yours.
Who do you have?
So, as of right now, I've got Desi Sills, Isaiah Joe, Moses Moody, Justin Smith, Vance Jackson. That would be my starting five as of right now. I was kind of kicking this around with Jimmy Carter, who used to write with Whole Hog, and he told me, he's like, I think that's, he liked that starting five. He thinks that's ultimately who's going to be on the floor at the end of games, like closing out games. I think that's that might be your best lineup. I could also see Connor Vanover being in there too. The question with Connor, obviously, is just, How much time is he going to be able to provide you? And then when he's on the floor, what's Arkansas's course of action going to be defensively? One of the projects the coaching staff had this summer was studying NBA teams and how NBA teams who play seven-footers routinely defend the pick and roll. Like, that's like, you just, Vanover being on the floor just changes your defensive identity so much. There's just so many questions with him on the floor, but he's such a mismatch nightmare when he's on the floor. Like, he's going to undoubtedly give teams fits. Just don't exactly know how much run he's going to be able to give you.
So probably 2 to 3 weeks ago, I would have had Vanover in my starting lineup. Just, I've almost talked myself out of it in a way, though, because if you think about trying to start Vanover, he could easily get into early foul trouble if somebody is attacking him and he can't move his feet well. And then you're exactly right with how much play is Vanover going to get. And the offense will look completely different, and the defense will look completely different when he is on the floor versus when he is not on the floor. I think more than likely Vanover will come off the bench this year, and then he will be a mismatch in a matchup. And I think he'll come off and depend on the matchup is what I'm trying to say there. In the words of, well, he may come off and play 30 minutes one game because he's just killing them. Whoever you may be playing doesn't have a guy to guard him on the offensive side, and he can hold his own on the defense because maybe the team's not trying to pass pace you, or maybe if they are, they don't normally do, and they're pretty sloppy about it. Also, I could see him playing 10 minutes one game because just simply he could get into foul trouble, or honestly, the matchup doesn't favor them. You know, Arkansas was able to get through the entire season last year with the tallest player being 6'8". You know, Adriel Bailey. I mean, Adriel Bailey normally playing was like 6'8". So it can be done with Musselman. He can utilize the size without a doubt. But also there's stretches, and we've seen Musselman be able to utilize stretches where he doesn't necessarily need a true center.
Right. Doesn't need a traditional center. Yeah.
I mean, he went with five guards last year where Jimmy Witt was guarding the five. So it just depends. And so I see that fluctuating, but I just don't. The more I've thought about it, the more I don't see Vanover in. I've got Joe, and I think to start the season, Sills will be in there. Sills could rotate out. It's really hard for me because you mentioned this in the article, but Sills plays so well off the bench.
Yeah, he has. And if no doubt about it.
And if he can accept that role, then why could he not be a closer but not necessarily a starter? It really only matters who's out on the court whenever the game is ending, right?
Sure.
So I think that might be a role to where he finds himself in. And, you know, maybe Justin Smith, JD Notae are toss-ups. Notae is not helping himself right now by getting hurt. Of course, he didn't plan that. But I don't think that's necessarily helping him that he's hurt and kind of sidelined for the next few weeks. But that battle between Smith and Notae will be good. I do believe that Vance Jackson will come over and start. I think Jalen Tate will be off the bench.
He's a little bit of a question mark. I could literally see it going either way just because you know what you're going to get with Jalen Tate. Like, he's a proven defender in the league that he's coming from. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be the same caliber defender in the league, in the SEC, which has probably superior athletes to the Horizon League.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we saw what Jimmy Witt could do. I mean, you know, Witt knew what the SEC was like because he started at Arkansas, but he came from the American.
Yeah.
Known as a good defender, and he proved that he could still defend well at the SEC level.
Coaching staff or Eric Musselman has likened some of the things that Jalen Tate brings to the table to a Jimmy Witt, particularly defensively. And so Jalen Tate's a guy that, you know, I probably see him coming off the bench initially, but I could also see the guy making some spot starts to get in the lineup to, you know, just kind of like when Tennessee came to Bud Walton Arena last year, and, you know, kind of the head of the snake for Tennessee is Santiago Vescovi. And if you kind of eliminate his playmaking a little bit, you just kind of, it almost seems like the rest of Tennessee's offense just maybe deteriorates a little bit just because, you know, the guy who's initiating offense is just being harassed and hassled all night. And I think Jalen Tate could give you a little bit of that. Don't know how much he's going to score is the thing. You know, he has scored in the Horizon League, but I think like the competition is just, it's going to be another step up. But I think defensively he's got a chance to be one of your better players.
I think also he may not be able to score, not necessarily because he's a terrible scorer, but how many scorers are there on this team now?
Yeah.
Compared to last year when if you needed a bucket, you gave it to Mace or Isaiah Joe. That was it, right? And, you know, Desi Sills could get you a bucket if he was open. Adriel was okay. But you have bucket getters on this team now. Up and down the lineup, you talked about Vegas Vance. You know,
yeah.
That man can play and shoot anywhere. You're talking about him shooting the three-pointer. You know, Justin Smith is no slouch when it comes to shooting the basketball.
Yeah, I mean, word is that he's improved his jumper a little bit. I mean, he's a 25% career three-point shooter, which is obviously not great. He's probably better suited 12 feet and in, but sounds like his jumper has improved just in a short time here. So going back to Jalen Tate for a second, when I was writing the commitment analysis for him, one of the things I was told is that he's very good in late-game situations. So that makes me think that he might be, you know, you're talking about starting lineups and then closing lineups. Jalen Tate, like if it's a close game, why not have one of your premier defenders on your roster in the lineup? Like he's another candidate to close games. So tons of options, man. It is,
and we haven't even gotten down to the bottom yet. You have two more categories, bench contributors, but you only have one in this category.
Yeah, Jalen Williams is I wrote a feature story about him not too long ago. I was talking to his high school coach at Portsmouth Northside, and he said that his family has been told by a doctor that he could grow to be 7'1". And so you're thinking about a guy that's 7'1", 245 pounds with that skill set. That's scary. That's scary. And if that does happen with the skill set that he's got, like, he's going to jump on NBA radar sooner than later, given that he makes he progresses as expected. I think you've got two solid forwards, I think, with Justin Smith. I would not be surprised at all if Justin Smith starts. You've got Vance Jackson too, and then Connor Vanover. I think Jalen's time could kind of hinge on just how much Vanover is able to play, because you feel comfortable, I think, with four forwards, because Vance and Justin Smith aren't going to be able to play all the time. And Connor Vanover is obviously not going to be able to play probably as much as Vance and Justin Smith will. So I think that kind of opens the door for Jalen Williams to kind of jump in and get some minutes as a freshman. And I think, you know, I don't expect him to start right away. I think he's going to be a guy that primarily comes off the bench, but in the future, I think he's going to have that five spot locked down. I think he's that good of a player. He can stretch the floor at 6'10". And if he can stretch the floor, if he grows stretching the floor at 7'1", I mean, that's crazy. That's matchup problems just night in, night out for opponents. And then he's a good passer, got good vision, high IQ guy. I'm pretty high on Jalen Williams. I'm excited by him.
And then fill us in on the rest of the roster, the guys that you say, these guys are going to play spot minutes and might have an uphill battle to crack the rotation.
Yeah, so right now I've got Devontae Davis and KK Robinson and Ethan Henderson in that spot minutes category. My line of thinking for Ethan, I'll just start with him. He didn't crack the rotation last year when Arkansas had a really short bench. Like, you're playing seven guys, and he's not one of those seven guys until the tail end of the season. If he could somehow channel that run that he had in March where he was averaging like 4 points, 5 rebounds, 2.5 blocks a game in just 20 minutes, if he can channel that somehow, like, that's obviously a big plus. Right now, I just don't see him playing just a whole lot, just because you've got Justin Smith, Vance Jackson, Connor Vanover, potentially Jalen Williams in front of him. And then you get to Devo and KK. I think it's kind of the same thing. Like, you've got Isaiah Joe, Desi Sills, JD Note, Jalen Tate, and Moses Moody. Like, that's five guys in front of them. I think there's just too much experience and too many good players in front of them for those guys to get significant minutes right away. Obviously, there's a lot of time between now and when the season could start, and this is not me throwing these kids under the bus. Like, if you read this, Devo can do things that you can't teach. Like, he's crafty, shifty, quick with the ball in his hands. I think he's just got to hone his jumper. Like, his jumper needs to become a little bit more consistent. That's the one thing that Eric Musselman has said all along. And then he's got to, I think, kind of hone the decision making. He's got to become a better decision maker with the ball in his hands, and maybe his handle can become a little bit tighter. KK, I really like the idea of him with the ball in his hands in transition. That's one of the things that Eric Musselman said that he really liked about him. Watching him at Oak Hill, he had so many other weapons on his team. He was perfectly fine being a facilitator, and he averaged like almost 8 assists a game his senior year of high school. So, point guard who's a facilitator, and then I like him as an on-ball defender. He can kind of give ball handlers some fits there. I just, with the depth in front of them, I just don't see them getting a whole lot of minutes right away. But obviously that can change. So maybe one of the transfer guards doesn't turn out to be who we expect. Maybe the wrist injury with JD Note lingers. That obviously, if either one of those hypotheticals comes to fruition, you know, I think that possibly opens the door for KK or Devo.
Good stuff there, Scotty. As he said, he mentioned there's some good information in the article. So if you are interested, haven't read it yet, go down into the description of this podcast. There will be a link to it. Make sure to click on that. Read Scotty's very detailed description and breakdown of the Arkansas basketball roster. All right. We're going to wrap it up here on this first portion of the podcast. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have Brian Roth from Heat Check Basketball and he is going to talk about Isaiah Joe, really the perspective of the Arkansas basketball program, and give us some really good information. So we'll be right back here on the Whole Hog Podcast.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Welcome back into the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell and Scotty Borderline. We're now joined by Brian Ralph from Heat Check Basketball. And Brian, we'll just jump right into it here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
A lot of college basketball players decided to return back. They decided to forego the forego the NBA really and come back to college basketball. My question is one of those guys was Isaiah Joe. What does his return mean for the Arkansas Razorback basketball program?
I think it's huge. Next season was going to be one of a lot of new faces for the Arkansas program is still going to be. And that was sort of by design by Eric Musselman. He knew it sort of needed a infusion of talent and depth. He wanted to, you know, build a roster to his liking. We see that the amount of newcomers they have, but having somebody like Joe back not only brings about an added experience to the roster that they weren't expecting to have, but also, you know, you get your major contributor or second major contributor from last season back to step into that role and sort of give a lot of those young guys, new faces, a bit of guidance to the program. So it's certainly huge. We've seen other programs like Kentucky and Duke really flourish where those young, talented pieces that they bring up on a yearly basis have a veteran leader to sort of guide them. And I think we'll see Joe fill a sort of similar role with some of the young, particularly freshmen that Arkansas has coming in.
Hey, Brian, this is Scotty Borderline here. Thanks again for coming on with us. I'm curious if you see another player on Arkansas's roster with star potential alongside Isaiah Joe.
The only one, the best chance is obviously Moses Moody, right? I think him coming in, and I think his role probably is going to change now with Joe back. But he's the guy for me who can be that elite scorer, another guy who could be an all-SEC caliber performer, take over a game whenever Arkansas needs somebody to. I think the rest of the group is extremely talented, but he is the guy to me who has that take over, everybody follow me sort of ability and mindset. So he would be the guy I would look to, even though he's going to be just a freshman.
Brian, I'm curious. You work on the national stage in the college basketball realm. What is the view of what Eric Musselman is building here at the University of Arkansas?
It's incredible. Musselman obviously gained a lot of respect from what he did at Nevada. And I think a lot of people were really impressed how quickly he was able to get the Arkansas program really up and going because they were going to make the NCAA tournament had it been held this past season, which was certainly not expected. And he brought in as good a recruiting class as Arkansas has had in a really long time. So all of the momentum is going there. And nationally, the view of him at Arkansas is certainly a positive one and a program on the rise. That's going to have to start translating over into, you know, continued on-court wins and success soon, because it's one thing to, you know, build expectations, and it's another thing entirely to actually go out on the court and meet them. So that's the next step for the continued progression of the program under Musselman. But up until this point, he's done everything you could possibly have asked of him or wanted him to do.
You know, several teams across the SEC got some key pieces back in the last week or so. Like LSU, I think, got three guys back who declared for the draft. Tennessee got Eve Pons back. Just kind of, what do you make of the SEC at the moment, and where do you think Arkansas might fit in at the moment?
There are going to be six or seven teams really fighting for a regular season championship. I think all those teams you mentioned, LSU, Tennessee, Arkansas, are going to be right in that mix. So is Alabama getting John Petty back. Auburn loses some key pieces, but brings in a talented freshman class as well. LSU, as you mentioned, then you know, there's Kentucky sitting out there too, and Florida, even though they've fallen short of expectations a couple of years, there's a lot of talent on that roster. I think you could pick any one of those seven as your regular season champ, preseason, and have there be legitimate reasoning behind it. The SEC as a whole is going to be extremely deep. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw 9 or 10 NCAA tournament bids come out of the SEC this year. But those seven, I think, are going to be in a really, really, really fun race for a regular season title.
Talking here to Brian Ralph from HeatCheckBasketball.com. You can check him out there. Brian, Scotty mentioned that a lot of guys came back in the SEC, but really a lot of guys all over the country decided to come back. Do you think that the COVID and the pandemic that we're dealing with had a lot to do with that?
Absolutely. Just some of the uncertainty surrounding what, you know, the world looked like come the start of basketball season certainly played a role, as well as the abbreviated / non-existent pre-draft process. Because a lot of these guys hadn't been able to really get in front of teams and get significant feedback other than what you can get from a Zoom interview, which I think we all know at this point, you know, is passable. But when you're evaluating draft prospects and what someone can do on the court, that's probably not the best tool to use for that, right? One of the big ones who came back was Ayo Dosunmu at Illinois. It's going to be a first or second team preseason All-American choice, first team All Big Ten preseason kind of guy. He was somebody who, prior to his sophomore season, this past season, was kind of set on, I came back for my sophomore year, but I'm going to be gone after this year. And he said after he made the decision to come back to Illinois that COVID was the reason why he came back, because he wasn't able to get in front of NBA teams. He wasn't able to, you know, have that one team maybe fall in love with him and get high on him the same way that we see a lot of these fringe prospects who stay in the draft have in the past, right? Because you can be projected to be a second-round pick undrafted, but it just takes one team to fall in love with you from a really good workout you have, or some really good tape they see, or scrimmage you have at a workout at their facility, and suddenly they're locking you in as, you know, potential first-round pick or their second-round pick. Those opportunities weren't there for these guys. So that plus the uncertainty, I think, is the big, big reason why we've seen as many as we've had choose to return to college.
Hey, Brian, you know, every team in the country has probably got a weakness, and other teams have plenty, more than one. You know, if this Arkansas team has got a weakness, what do you think that might be?
This isn't going to be uncommon this season, but it's going to be their youth and lack of experience playing together. Because whenever we have a season, I know the NCAA is still insisting and planning on having the season tip off as normal on November 10th and going through with no hiccups. I think we all know that that's not necessarily the most realistic possibility, and the season might be abbreviated in some way. But no matter what the case is, even the buildup to the regular season starting, even if it's on time or pushed back, isn't going to be the same. And so these teams like Arkansas that have a ton of new faces, and Arkansas has about as many as any team in the country, aren't going to have that time to really learn to play together, learn each other's tendencies, find each other's roles in the offense, roles on defense, roles in the rotation, really. So there's going to be an extended tinkering period once the season starts for a lot of these teams, to younger teams, to get up to speed. And I think that's where we could see Arkansas maybe early on in the season fall a little bit behind, but then surge late because they have the talent to surge late once they get everything sort of figured out. But I would caution Arkansas fans that a slow start is probably coming just because these guys haven't played together before or played at this level before.
Brian, going back to Isaiah Joe for just a second here, you look at his game and, you know, he seems to have a lot of the tools that the NBA scouts would be looking for. How do you see his game projecting to the NBA?
He is a really, really good 3-and-D prospect. And for those who don't know what that means, is a guy who doesn't need the ball offensively, but can space the floor as a three-point shooter, and then play lockdown defense on the perimeter. That was something that really appealed to NBA scouts after his freshman season, and something that really appealed to scouts after his sophomore season, and it's something that still really appeals to scouts. Whether he's good enough in that role or has shown enough to be a first-round pick, I think is one of the reasons why he opted to come back. He took a little bit of a step back this past season from a production standpoint, and injuries certainly played a role in that, and I think that's why his draft status wasn't, you know, full-on locked in as a first-round pick. But that's the role he's projected to play whenever he does end up at the NBA level. And he has shown time and time again that he certainly has a skill set for that. And Arkansas is certainly much better for having somebody like that.
You know, Arkansas fans have been waiting for what seems like forever to see Connor Vanover play. What do you expect out of him? I think he's up to 7'3", almost 250 pounds now.
He is going to be somebody who's going to provide a nice change of pace and a unique mismatch for everybody else in the SEC, because not everybody has a guy that size. And, you know, with anybody who hasn't played much, consistency is something you look for as an area of growth and an area maybe he needs to prove. But I know Eric Musselman is excited by the different looks and, you know, the curveball, if you will, of the different lineups he can throw out there with a guy that size, at the very least.
Brian, well, we really appreciate you joining us here on the Whole Hog Podcast. Before I let you go, though, I would be remiss if I didn't ask about Young Clutch, Brian's created player on NBA 2K. He got after it, creating him in college and then going all the way through to the NBA. You know, COVID and the quarantine time will do some crazy things to us, but I got to ask, you've been off of Young Clutch for a little while. Is he going to come back?
He will come back. I tried to do a pro career in NBA 2K8 because that's the direct import from College Hoops 2K8. And playing a video game like that on an old system with much new or better options is tough to do. So he will be back. I am in negotiations with the wife about potentially starting his pro career over again, NBA 2K21. Whenever that comes out, I think that might be the case. But
good luck.
We'll get back on and finish that for sure.
Yes, good luck indeed. Well, you can check Brian out on Heat Check Basketball, College Basketball, or you can follow him on Twitter. That's BRAUF, BRAUF33. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for your time, man.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
The Whole Hog Podcast is back, and Scotty, we've got some big football news to talk about. Seems like it was a while ago, but it was just 1 week ago that the SEC announced that they were changing their football schedule to a 10-game SEC schedule. It has still not come out yet as we're recording this on Thursday. It has not come out whether or not that this, who Arkansas will play as their two extra teams, but this is a lot of information. They've also said that the season won't start until September 26th and fall practice won't start until August 17th. That's a lot all happening at once for the sport that is mainly considered to be the biggest sport. I mean, let's be honest, it is the biggest sport.
Yeah, it's the cash cow.
Are you still encouraged, though, by the fact that the SEC thinks that they're going to play? And as you're talking to Juracek, he seemed to think that he went from a 50-50 on whether or not the season would be played to he's about 95% sure now. Are you reassured after all of this that the SEC will play football this year?
I sure hope so. I really do. And I'm not even really bothered at all by the fact that, you know, preseason practice has been pushed back 10 days and the start of the season has been pushed back 3 weeks. It's just listening to Hunter Yurecek go from 50-50 just a couple of weeks ago to saying he was about 90-10, like that made me feel just a little bit better, you know, that we might actually have a job to do this fall.
Yes.
Is encouraging. It's also encouraging that it seems that Arkansas is taking care of business with the COVID guidelines and they haven't had any positive tests that we know of. I mean, it sounds positive to me. I'm going to be curious to see, you know, whenever the SEC schedule comes out, who does Arkansas pick up? Because I think you start thinking about win totals for the year, a lot of it kind of hinges on who those other two teams are. Like you think, I was thinking about this yesterday, like you think you might have a puncher's chance against Ole Miss in Missouri.
Maybe Mississippi State,
sure. If you draw Vanderbilt from the East, that's solid. Like that would be, you think you might be able to handle that.
Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Kentucky, you kind of think,
yeah,
have
you
a
really just
want
to stay as far away as possible from Georgia and Florida, I would say, and probably Arkansas plays Tennessee.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they're already on the schedule, so.
The next on the rotation is Georgia, is it not?
You might be right, yeah.
I think that's what it was. It's kind of interesting because Arkansas, yeah, I think it's Georgia, which if they just do the next two on the rotation, Arkansas is going to get Georgia and I think it was South Carolina, which is kind of strange because they haven't played Florida in a minute, which I'm kind of strange as to why they weren't rotated on. But that is the rotation set up by the SEC, even though it's not necessarily going by, well, who you played last and just rotating back through it. Anyway, it'll be interesting. That'll be big news. The ACC came out with their schedule today. As I said, we're recording this on Thursday, of what their 10+1 is going to look like. Notre Dame joining their conference. There'll be some good games with Notre Dame in the ACC, especially since they have to play Clemson. That'll be a fun one to watch out for.
So given what we know about the football schedule right now, I'm just going to run through the home and away games, mm-hmm. and you can kind of tell me how you think those games are going to go.
Okay.
So your home slate's pretty tough. Like you've got, I think, three of your four toughest games as of right now are at home. So you got Alabama at home.
Loss.
LSU at home.
Loss.
Tennessee at home.
I mean, loss, yeah.
Ole Miss at home.
Potential.
And then there's one game that we're not sure about right now.
Right.
So you're thinking,
you can have a,
just based on what you know right now, you could go 1-3.
That's not,
you go 1-3 at home. It's not
terrible. Yeah. I know that you don't really want to hear that as a Razorback fan, considering, but where the program is at right now, going 1-3 at home, you're just really not in a position to compete with Alabama, LSU, and the way that Tennessee's building their program right now.
Right.
In a position to compete with them either.
Maybe the program can make a jump between now and, you know, maybe they could. Maybe the walkthroughs are going really well, and maybe you can sneak up on Tennessee. Who knows? I don't think they're not invincible by any means.
No. Just being realistic, I think that's right now with the information that we have, and we haven't even gotten to see a practice yet because they didn't have spring practice that we couldn't go to, and then they haven't opened up a fall practice that we can go to, and they haven't even gotten into fall practice yet. They're just doing walkthroughs.
You know? Yeah.
The coaching staff finally got to see him with the ball. So we haven't seen the new staff and the new guys with the ball yet either. But just based on what you know and observe, you'd have to count that Tennessee game as a loss. What about on the road?
Mississippi State. It's just a tough place to play.
There's potential, as I said there as well. But if you're looking at the three games that Arkansas already had on their schedule between Missouri, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State, you got to believe that Mississippi State's the hardest one out of those three to win.
Say that again.
So if you're looking at the three games at Arkansas that you thought you had a puncher's chance in, right, that were already on Arkansas' schedule in Missouri.
Yes, out of those three.
Mississippi,
yeah,
and Mississippi
I would,
State.
Yeah, I would agree.
You got to feel like Mississippi State's going to be the hardest one to win.
Yeah. And then Auburn.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
And then Texas A&M probably at Kyle Field. You know, if it's on a neutral, if it's in Arlington, you know, given Arkansas's history playing A&M in Arlington,
it's always been close.
It has always been close. Arkansas's also almost always come up on the wrong side of things there. But being at Kyle Field, and we don't know what stadium capacity is going to be, and so it might not. It's not going to be like walking into your traditional Kyle Field Saturday. Like it's just not. And so maybe that helps Arkansas to some degree.
You got to believe if you're Arkansas that if they want to move this to a home and home, you're thinking that that's okay because you don't know what will happen in a year. But if worse comes to worse and, you know, heaven forbid, we're still in this thing in a year, whenever you come back around, well, you're just going to get the same game that you got against Texas A&M. But you got to hope that it'll improve. And then all of a sudden, you might have a home game with fans in the stands against A&M, whereas A&M had to play a home game. And, you know, at max, they had 25% capacity at Kyle Field. So
you have Ross Bjork's probably going to say that you can only have same stadium capacity we had the year before.
Yeah, and your tech's going to say, well, that was cute, but it was your idea to go to the home and home. Or else we could have just played in Arlington.
Yeah, checkmate him.
Yeah, I mean, you got to believe that's a win-win for Arkansas because you can go to A&M, play at A&M in front of a crowd that's normally just raucous, and all of a sudden it's not.
Yeah.
And then you could get them back home. So I feel like that's a win-win for Arkansas there. And let's be honest, if you looked at it on paper, now Arkansas always plays them close. But if you look at it on paper, you really don't feel like you have a shot this year anyway.
I don't think anybody's afraid to go into Missouri.
No, that's...
And even less so with a capped capacity.
I think that... I'm trying to think with the most likely win. Between Ole Miss and Missouri, who would you say Arkansas has the best chance of beating?
I don't know. They kind of seem like they're on even playing fields to me. Like, just being that Ole Miss is at home, Ole Miss is a home game, you might go with that one. But I don't think there's, in my mind, as of right now, knowing 8 of the 10 games, I think Ole Miss would probably be the most winnable game. And then Missouri's probably easily your number two.
Who else do they have on the road?
We got Mississippi State, Auburn, Texas A&M, and Missouri.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, Missouri's the easiest one to win on the road. But that's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough schedule. And then if you think that you add two, you know, you'd almost rather, instead of them picking, you'd almost rather them just throw a dartboard at the other SEC East teams because you do have the potential of playing Florida and Georgia, but then you also add the potential of playing Vanderbilt, Kentucky, or South Carolina.
Right.
And you're like, that's 3 out of the 5 are good. You know, we could throw a dart here and hit 2 Georgia and Florida, but also you could hit Vanderbilt and Kentucky. So who knows? It'll be an interesting season without a doubt, Scotty. All right. Anything else to add on the football season before we wrap it up here on not the basketball, on the Whole Hog Podcast?
Just going, you know, when the SEC announced that the start of fall practice was going to start 10 days, like just wanted to kind of go over what that entails. Like the teams will be allowed a total of 25 practices kept at 20 hours per week until the first scheduled game. And teams will not be able to wear pads until the 5th day of practice, which will follow 2 days only in helmets and 2 days in shells. So that just kind of gives you an idea of what's ahead for Arkansas's football team.
I'm excited. This is weird, but I'm excited to watch them practice. It's just been so long. This time last year, we were out there watching them practice, finally.
Yeah.
And the hype was starting around second-year coach.
I just wonder what us going to practice, if we're allowed to go to practice, I wonder what that's going to look like. So I saw Arkansas State released some of their guidelines. Like, I think their media members and reporters and TV and whatever, they're like practices that are in the stadium. I think those folks who are covering the practice are going to be designated to a specific area of the stadium. Clearly better than nothing. Like, I'm ready to lay eyes on a lot of these guys and, you know, maybe bring some observations for you guys.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It'd be nice.
I'm ready to bring the camera out. I haven't used the camera, Scotty.
Mallory asked me the other day, if I had the camera. And I'm like, I literally have no idea who's got the camera. It's been so freaking long since we've used it.
It's in my office. I haven't used it since the Hunter Yurecek press conference on, I think it was March 13th.
Yep.
It was the last time I saw all the
media. Yeah, it was the Friday after the SEC tournament got canceled, wasn't it? Yep.
Because Wednesday was the 11th when that was the last baseball game and the last basketball game.
Right.
Yeah, because we all met in person. They were handing out Germex at the front, and you're like, this is just kind of strange. And then you didn't realize that you wouldn't see anybody else in person for, what's it been, 4 months now? It's kind of wild.
Going on five. Yep.
I'm not good at
slowly, that. My mind's slowly deteriorating. I need to get excited about going to football practice again, just kind of re-energize myself.
Yes, but I'm ready to bring out the camera. It hasn't been used. Bring some sights and sounds from football practice.
Those will probably draw thousands of views.
Just give us something.
I mean, if you just followed Felipe Franks around for a practice, I think people would be perfectly fine with that.
I think so, in all honesty, just watching every single ball that he throws.
And then get a little bit of B-roll of the beefed up offensive lineman walking around, just kind of showing people how much they're progressing. Yeah.
All right, Scotty, before we head on out of here, we got to talk about our random school of the week. I almost forgot. So this time we are going to the Ohio Valley Conference. Yeah, I saw those eyes roll back in the back of the head. Can you name one school from the Ohio Valley? And go ahead and just give you an easy question.
Ohio?
Ohio Valley Conference. Ohio is not in the Ohio Valley.
Really?
Which there's actually not a team from Ohio in the Ohio Valley Conference.
Oh man, put me on the spot.
We're stretching your mind. Let's see.
I don't think I have anything left to stretch, man.
I mean, here's an easy one that you can name one of these teams. Ja Morant played here.
Of Murray State. Mm-hmm. There you go. I couldn't tell you who else is in that league.
Okay, but so now we're gonna go.
Is Toledo in that league?
No, they're in the. I think they're in the same conference, aren't they? In the MAC.
With yeah.
Ohio.
That's embarrassing.
No, you're fine. This is why we do this, Scotty, is to educate ourselves. Okay. So here we go. The team that I picked out is the most farthest west team in the Ohio Valley. They are in the state of Illinois with a mascot of Eddie the Cougar. Can you name the school?
Eddie the Cougar, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Illinois?
Very close. You got Illinois, but it's not Eastern. It's another direction.
I don't have a clue.
Southern Illinois. But it's not just Southern Illinois. It's Southern Illinois, Edwardsville.
Yeah.
There you go. That educating you today on the Ohio Valley Conference, Southern Illinois, Edwardsville.
I thought Michael Qualls put that school out of its misery when he dunked on them like in like 2013 or 2014.
That was an exhibition game, wasn't it?
I think so.
When he just.
Yeah, he yammed on them pretty good.
So some other teams before we let you go. So that's SIU Edwardsville, Southeast Missouri State, UT Martin, Austin Peay, Tennessee State, Tennessee Tech, Jacksonville State, Belmont, Morehead State, Eastern Kentucky, Murray, and Eastern Illinois. That makes up the Ohio.
Yeah, Kenneth Fareed came from Morehead State. Austin Peay. Yeah, Austin Peay was on Arkansas' schedule last year.
Those teams are decently close.
Arkansas played UT Martin fairly recently in football.
Yeah. The Skyhawks, aren't they?
Yep.
I want to say that was Petrino. But now I don't remember. Because they have the same color scheme as Auburn, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they look exactly like Auburn.
Yep.
To where the fact of, I think that Arkansas beat Auburn twice that year, basically. All right. That's back when Arkansas could beat Auburn. All right, Scotty. I appreciate you joining us today. I appreciate Brian Roth for joining us as well. And I appreciate you for joining us here on the Whole Odd Podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate all the likes. And hey, if you're talking about Razorback sports, which if you're listening to this podcast, we know you are, you're talking with your friends and they say, where are you getting all this great information? Shoot them on over to us here at the Whole Hog Podcast. We give you great information. You can check us out online as well at wholehogsports.com. Well, until next week, maybe we'll have some more news, Scotty. We are looking forward to it, and we will see you back here next week.